You're listening to SBS News.
With the 2020 Pacific cyclone season underway and Australia's Weather Bureau forecasting a particularly difficult season under the prevailing La Nina, the UN is asking generous and well-meaning donors to donate responsibly. The World Food Programme says the volume of unsolicited donated goods can be significant enough to hamper and overwhelm response efforts. They say that in the past, unexpected goods have taken up valuable port and warehouse space, blocked vital aid getting through, and stretched the resources of first responders. Joe Pilgrim is the director of the World Food Programme's Pacific Office.
After a major disaster, countries affected are normally receive an influx of donations of goods from well-meaning individuals and community groups from overseas, and most of these contributions or donations are not requested and they're not expected. But the volume of these goods can be so great that it overwhelms the logistics capacity of the countries, especially small Pacific nations, and can actually hamper the response on the ground.
Ms. Pilgrim's office deals with disasters in the Pacific region. She says after Cyclone Pam in Vanuatu in 2015 and Cyclone Winston in Fiji in 2016, the amount of donations that arrived unexpectedly overwhelmed the small Pacific Island nations.
Tropical Cyclone Winston in 2016, which was in Fiji, the Fijians received 133 shipping containers of unrequested goods, as well as more than 8,000 individual packages or pallets of cargo. And this is enough to fill 33 Olympic-sized swimming pools. And this was cargo that they were not expecting, that was not planned for. And so it arrives and sits in the port, takes up warehousing space, takes up port space. No one knows it's coming. And then it actually can block the movement of the aid that's being imported by governments and first responders on the ground.
Sorting through container loads of unknown donated goods is a major task, and with limited hands to help, it may not be sorted for some time, if at all. Then when donations are inspected, they're found to be spoiled or unusable and have to go to the landfill. Reverend James Bhagwan is the General Secretary of the Pacific Conference of Churches. He was on the ground in Fiji in 2016 during Cyclone Winston and says they received a number of unneeded goods like ski jackets and an inflatable giant red plastic chili pepper.
Sometimes those responses are really in terms of people just putting whatever old stuff they have together and sending it. And that really, one, it's not a practical response. Two, there is the issue of dignity. Third issue is really about knowing what the needs are on the ground.
He says it's more helpful if donors work through the NGOs on the scene who can manage requests for help appropriately.
People were sending containers to Fiji without any real, without even contacting the communities that they were being sent to. So you would get people said, oh, let's send a container of things to Fiji. And then, you know, only later we might receive a correspondence, an email or a phone call from a shipping agency saying, you know, this container is on its way.
Reverend James is joining the call to donate responsibly, or better yet, to send cash. He cites an example where a village in Fiji received food but had only a single pot to cook with.
The cost alone of sending containers is quite prohibitive as well. So is it then better off for people just to send the funds? We had the Red Cross in Fiji asking people, instead of just sending, you know, material that they might want to donate, to send the funds. And the same with our churches. We are able often to be able to procure what is required locally. And also by sending funds, it means that funds can be also kept for beyond the immediate disaster response relief phase and be utilized into the recovery phase.
The UN's Joe Pilgrim says by donating responsibly, kindness does not go to waste.
In the large majority of cases, these goods that were sent with the best of intentions by very well-meaning and generous individuals and organisations will end up in landfill. because they're damaged, because they've expired, because it's just not needed. It's just too costly to distribute them. It's cheaper potentially to, you know, to deal with them in other ways. So it's a sad fact that a lot of these goods that people donate won't actually won't reach the people that they thought they were helping, that they're actually going to go into landfill. And that's why we want to make sure people understand these issues. So, as I said, so their kindness does not go to waste.
Ms. Pilgrim says a cash donation could make the difference between someone receiving 9 litres of water or a community receiving 15,000 litres.
Cash is immediate. It doesn't have to go through shipment process, doesn't have to clear a port. With cash, the first responders and organisations on the ground can buy exactly what is needed. If the needs change over time, cash is flexible, so they can buy something else. So, you know, for example, if you wanted to send 9 litres of drinking water from Auckland to Tonga, that would cost, for the same amount that it would cost to send 9 litres of drinking water from Auckland to Tonga, you could actually produce 15,000 litres of clean drinking water on the ground locally.
To help those wishing to help in making a more informed decision about how they donate, the WFP has launched a website so that donors' generosity, time and money are not wasted.
The website that we are promoting at the moment, which is donateresponsibly.org, takes the reader or the viewer through a journey to understand the impact of donated goods, and it lets them, you know, simulate a donation and see what that impact is, and also shows how big the impact could be if they were to provide cash instead. On this website, we're not promoting any particular charity or any particular organisation. We do provide some resources so that individuals and community organisations could potentially check if the organisations that they're proposing to donate their cash to are accredited in Australia and New Zealand.
The 13 Pacific Island countries and territories that the World Food Programme covers are home to 10 million people across an area larger than the size of North America and equivalent to 15% of the globe's surface. The region is highly vulnerable to natural disasters, experiencing an average of 3 major disasters each year. Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.